As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, though, is that I was blind. Now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, We do not know where he comes from. The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "I once was blind, but now I see." Amazing, amazing grace. This lengthy story from the Gospel of John is kind of like a four-part play. It has so many facets, so many angles, so much action. And it all centers around this man who was born blind. It starts with the disciples. "Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind?" Now the man is just begging in the streets, minding his own business, as it were. And the disciples ask this question that shows their judgmentalism, that they haven't completely figured out what it is to walk with Jesus. And they say, "Who sinned that this happened?" Is that a question you've ever asked? I know churches fill up when there's a big disaster, or when someone young, too young, dies, because people want answers to their God questions. There's a flood or a hurricane, and people fill up the churches and they say, "Who sinned?" Or there's another type of disaster, maybe a man-made disaster, human-made disaster. And people come to church and they ask the question, "Who sinned?" Because when something terrible happens, something inside our nature wants to affix blame. Why did we have a sinkhole in the church parking lot? Was that the wrath of God? Sometimes I wonder, but no, It's fixed. It's all good. You can even drive on it now. But that's a question we ask, as did the disciples. Who sinned? And Jesus' response to the disciples doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. Now, in a sense, that sounds almost worse. Like, did God cause this person to be born blind just so that Jesus could heal him someday? Or was he just meant to be born blind because of circumstances in the womb or as an infant or whatever? Jesus' point is, something's going to happen here. God is going to be revealed. So hang on. And Jesus does as Jesus does in other places. He decides to use spit and mud. He spits on the ground, he makes mud, he puts it on the guy's eyes. Jesus is very tactile, right? You know, if I were a savior of the world, and of course I am not, I'd probably use, you know, something a little flashier than mud. But this goes all the way back to creation. The very beginning, where God fashioned human beings out of the clay of the earth and breathed life into them. Adam and Eve, creation. Now Jesus is doing a new creation event. He puts that mud on the guy's eyes and says, go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the guy does it. And he washes the mud away. And he comes up out of the water, clean, with new vision, new sight, rejoicing. Can you imagine having never been able to see and then seeing everything in living color? Can you imagine the feeling inside to have one of your most basic senses back after never knowing it in the first place? Trees and water and dirt and people and faces, facial expressions, seeing all of these things for the very first time. And what does he see of facial expressions the very first time? He sees religious judgment. Surely you couldn't have been that man, the Pharisees said. He had to go show himself to prove a miracle. You have to show healings to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees say, I don't think you were ever born blind. Talk about taking that euphoria down a notch. Wow, I can see. And how did he do that? And he explains the mud thing. And he explains the mud thing again. And he explains the mud thing again. And they say, well, no, it probably wasn't even you. You probably weren't even born blind. And besides, it happened on the Sabbath. Nobody that works for God would heal on a Sabbath. They can't know God. This person that healed you can't possibly know God. And so because they're so caught up in their rules and their judgments and their know-it-allism, they couldn't rejoice with the man born blind. And they couldn't let it go either. They went to find his parents just to double check, you know, just to grind it a little deeper. So you're his parents, right? Was he born blind? Was he really born blind? Yeah. Well, who did this? Who healed him? Oh, we're not going to say. Because they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. Anyone at that time who claimed to follow Jesus or believe anything Jesus did would have been thrown out of the synagogue. I don't know if we can understand it very well in our day and age. But I grew up in a church that was more like a tribe. It was a small town church, and it was all immigrants from the same place. And my parents had big families, and their parents had big families. And so in my church, there were 15 aunts and uncles. My grandparents were there. Their siblings were there. And to be thrown out of the church would have been like being thrown out of the tribe. So it was here. There was no alternative. You couldn't go across the street if you got thrown out of church. You couldn't find another church. So the parents were afraid to even rejoice in their son's newfound sight. I once was blind, but now I see, and his own parents couldn't rejoice with him because they were afraid of the religious authorities that would eventually go on to crucify Jesus. And so the man himself, the man whose sight Jesus saves, decides to follow Jesus. And they drove him out. And then Jesus wraps up the story by saying, this wasn't ever about not being able to see. This was about spiritual blindness. You might get an A on knowing Leviticus, but if you can't see your fellow human being, you've missed the story. If you can't rejoice with someone who has had a miracle in his life, you've lost your humanity. Can we rejoice with the man who was sent with mud all over his face, sent to go wash his face and see anew, become a new creation? We can. Our lesson here is God has the ability to make new out of nothing. God can make new creation out of what we thought was leftovers. Do you remember the first reading that Judy read? It's about the anointing of King David by Samuel. Our adult Bible study group has been studying this text. Okay, Samuel goes out to Jesse. And Samuel has the Spirit of God and is pretty sure that one of Jesse's sons is going to be the next king. And so Jesse brings out the oldest, the handsomest, the smartest. He's got 7 sons. And he brings out all but the little one. And Samuel says, "You got another son, Jesse? I thought there were more." Jesse's like, "Yeah, well, there's David, but he's just David. He's out watching the sheep if you want to go talk to him." And they bring in David, and Samuel says, "Yep, this is the one." Because God doesn't choose what we expect. God doesn't do what we expect. And when we think something is dead or dying, it might just be that God's getting ready to do resurrection. And so little David becomes the next king. The man born blind becomes a well-sighted follower of Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, as Jesus asked in this text, where is our spiritual blindness? In our creeds, we profess that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And in today's text, he judged the living. He judged the man born blind, free. He judged the Pharisees, blind and in bondage to sin. The grace of the moment here is that new life, new creation, new vision, new ways of seeing things are a gift from God. Little Dean is going to get called to the waters of baptism today. And just as Jesus said, go wash. And the blind man came up anew. That's what we believe of baptism. That even before we have the ability to sin, God calls us by name and says, you are mine, and I'm going to take care of you. No matter what happens in your life, what your choices are, you can always come to me. For those of us who are parents, you know, sometimes your kids go in a direction you'd rather they not have gone, but they're still your kids. Now picture the one who infinitely loves us so much more. I keep telling people, God loves your children more than you do. And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. We baptize because Jesus says, go and baptize. Make disciples. That the world might know my teachings, my grace, my love, my compassion, my forgiveness, my mercy. It's a gift for the community and the whole world. I once was blind, but now I see. It's a phrase to take home with us, to ask God in the quiet of our own prayers, where have I missed the mark? Where have I judged someone when God wasn't asking me to judge them? And how can I go and remember my baptism, as Luther said? Remember your baptism every day. Die to sin, rise to newness of life. That the love of Jesus through his Spirit might be evident in all of us, to the community, to each other, to the world. Rejoice and be made new. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.